At the beginning of the year, we started preaching through the Bible, going from story to story, from book to book, and now we are up to chapter 4 of Judges. And a few weeks ago, the last time I stood in this pulpit, I was preaching about optimism, how the Israelite people were just about to enter into the promised land, and how things were going to get better. And I don't know that anybody but a preacher would really spend a lot of time thinking about this, but right after I preached on optimism and hope, shortly after I gave that sermon, the news was all bad. In this country, and then terrorist things overseas with the shootings in Dallas, and we have every reason for pessimism. But in thinking about this story from Judges chapter 4 and this Deborah story, I want to work back and forth between the story of Deborah and the story of what happened in Dallas. Because 10 days ago in Dallas, you know the story, but you may not have heard that many of the protesters were organized by pastors. They worked closely together with the police, because what they wanted to do was give people a chance to meet together, about 800 people, a peaceful protest, to meet together to talk with community figures and police officers, pastors and church members. And the point of the protest was not to close down anything. The point of the protest in Dallas, I'm not even sure it was really great to call it a protest, but it was worked closely together with the police. And one of the best police and community relationships in the United States is in Dallas, Texas. There are pictures that protesters and police took together, selfies, where they were hugging one another, where the police were protecting people. There was a big line of demonstrators who were going down to hear the last speech. And there were lines both sides of the streets with police standing there protecting them, and people were thanking them for being there. And it was a moment of the community coming together and people understanding one another. And then 9 o'clock at the end of the protest, everything changed because one person had murder and hate in his heart. And thinking about that and seeing some of the pictures, I was amazed. I was amazed to see the protesters standing there smiling with police on either side. And the police were smiling. And they were with their arms around each other just minutes before this horrible murder, the horrible murders happened. And it struck me that's an image that we should really be focused on. Because that's an image of the kingdom of God. That's the image of the kind of thing that Jesus worked on. Did you know that in Jesus' disciples, in Jesus 12, there's a guy called Simon the Zealot. And Simon the Zealot, the reason he was called a zealot, that was a political party back in Jesus' day. And that was a political party that believed Jews should rule the Jewish homeland. The Jews should rule Israel. And Romans should not. All the Romans should get out. All the foreigners should get out. That the Jews should be the ones in control. And then there was another disciple whose name I'm sure you've heard of is Matthew. Matthew the tax collector. Now, if you're a tax collector, who do you work for? You work for Rome. And somehow, and we're never told how Jesus did this. I find this amazing. Jesus picked two guys who are at the absolute opposite end of the spectrum and made them part of his inner circle. That blows my mind. That's incredible. He got two guys who were diametrically opposed. The one guy says, all the Romans have to get out. The other guy's getting his paycheck from the Romans. Boy, can you imagine the conversations around the campfire that they must have had? They must have been, and I don't know how he did it. It was amazing. And I think that's exactly what Jesus wants us to do when we think about the kingdom of God, is to talk about people who maybe shouldn't go together because we think we'll fight or we'll struggle together. But maybe we won't. Maybe if we actually sit down and break bread together, things might be better. But as I said, at 9 p.m., the whole image of the kingdom of God changes. Police officers ran toward the sniper, five of them being killed. Corporal Lorne Ahrens, Officer Michael Kroll, Sergeant Michael Smith, Officer Brent Thompson, Officer Patrick Zamaripa. And then I thought that Jesus says in John's Gospel, no greater love has anyone than this but to lay down one's life for one's friends. Those five men who were murdered knew they were running toward danger. They knew they were running toward trouble. They knew they were doing their job to protect people. And I don't think it's too far of a stretch to say that five men were betrayed, just like Jesus in the upper room was betrayed by Jesus. Five officers were crucified, were sacrificed like Jesus did. And why? Because they were working for a better society. They were working for a better country and community. But they were doing the right thing. These five men are examples of what Jesus and Deborah did. As far as I can tell, and I may be way off base on this, Jesus and Deborah and those five police officers had one thing in common. They probably had a bunch more, but one thing that I know of. And that is that they all submitted themselves to a higher authority. The police officers to duty and probably to God, but I don't know anything about their particular faith. But certainly Jesus and Deborah did. Did you catch that line at the end of Judges, the last line that Bill read? There was no king in Israel during the book of Judges, so everybody did whatever it was that they wanted to do. That's a paraphrase, but that's what it says. Everybody did whatever it was that they wanted to do, did what was right in their own eyes. And it was Deborah's job. She was a judge. She sat under a tree, and she wouldn't have just judged court cases, although she certainly would have done that, but she also would have judged things like mayoral disputes. She was sort of serving as the mayor and the judge and the town attorney and all that rolled into one. And she sat under a palm tree, and people would come up to her and they would ask her questions of law. My neighbor says his property's here, where's mine? But she also answered questions of morality and what God wanted. Deborah was a prophet. So you could come and say, Deborah, I'm wondering what my call is in life. What do you think God is calling me to do? And we know from the context in Judges 4 that the Israelites had been oppressed in this area for 40 years after coming into the Promised Land. That Deborah was struggling with people who were not free in the Promised Land. Yet Deborah says this. This is really important. In chapter 4, verse 6, and you can almost miss it if you're not paying real close attention, when Deborah sends her general out to take over and to fight those who have been oppressing them for 40 years, Deborah says this, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead the way to Mount Tabor." Deborah doesn't say, I'm the boss, I'm in charge, here's what I want you to do. No, she says, here's what God wants you to do. Here's what God wants you to do. Pay attention, because this is what God is saying. And Jesus. Remember Jesus in the garden? Before he willingly submits to his death, he prays to the Father, not my will, Father, but thy will be done. And that's why we read about Deborah in the Old Testament, because she put her interests aside to hear what God is doing. The only person who ever did it perfectly was Jesus Christ. He put everything about himself aside. He never had a family. He never got married. He never had kids. You know, he took all this stuff that we take for granted, and he put it aside so that he could serve the Father's will perfectly. Now, you and I are never going to get there perfectly, but we got the right idea. Following these five police officers, following Deborah and Jesus. So the question I have for you this morning is, how do you submit to the will of God the Father? How do you submit to that higher power? For some people, it's going to a soup kitchen. Nobody says you have to go to a soup kitchen and serve people who are hungry. There's no law that says you have to get up and do that. But for some people, that's how you submit to God's will. You go and see that hungry people get a meal. For some people, you submit to God's will when you go out to Living Waters and there are 13 third and fourth graders running around your ankles screaming and asking questions. What are we going to do next? When are we going to go in the creek? And you think, oh my goodness, what does this have to do with God? But it does. It has everything to do with God. Because those kids are watching you. And they want to see somebody who looks them in the eyes and says, you know what? This is going to be a great week, and yes, you're going to be homesick, and yes, sometimes things aren't going to seem to go your way, and maybe you're not going to succeed in everything you do this week. But we still love you, and we still have your best interests at heart. It's not easy to do, to put aside every personal agenda for Jesus. It's not easy at all. But if Deborah teaches us anything, we don't get to take the credit. The other thing that Deborah says to Barak that I think is really interesting is in verse 14, she says this. She says to Barak, go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? She says, you're going to win the battle, but she says, I'm going to get all the credit. And God's going to get all the credit. You, Barak, who's the general, you're the one who's running everything. You're telling the troops where to go. She says, you're just being told what to do. Because, Barak, you've got to put aside your own ideas. You've got to put aside your own understanding. God is telling you, we're going to win this battle. So Deborah doesn't want to take things into her own hands. She listens to God. And that's the point of the story. That's the point of the story, that Jesus, that God the Father, radically call us to submit and to find ways for us to respond, to put aside our own agendas. Maybe Jesus is calling you to humility. Maybe Jesus is calling you to more prayer. Maybe Jesus is calling you to look out and say, you know what, everything seems like it's going crazy, but Deborah was outnumbered for 40 years. And she was confident that God would hand the Israelites the victory. Jesus was outnumbered. He went to his death with only his clothes. He didn't have a club. He didn't have a gun. He didn't have a sword. He didn't have a spear. He didn't have anything. And he was confident that God would raise him up on the third day. God has promised us the victory. We just have to get our heads around it, that it's not going to be my victory. It's going to be his. I just have to get it around my head that I have to submit to what he really wants out of me and out of my life. Amen.